Stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference that brought in SOA capabilities on System Z. What's new in connectivity and process management? Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn about the latest developments in the areas of connectivity and process management and how IBM WebSphere solutions for SOA can help you. The speaker for today's teleconference is Dale Grossman, Worldwide Sales, IBM Software Group, WebSphere on System Z. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Dale Grossman.
Hi, and thank you. This is Dale Grossman. I'm the worldwide BUE for WebSphere on Z series. I'm going to be taking you through a series of charts presentation that's designed to go a little bit less than an hour. Hopefully, you have some time at the end for some questions. And if you'll kind of walk along with me, we're going to talk very quickly about kind of the summary of the fall SOA launch and the Smart SOA. If you go to the second slide, it kind of revolves around a changing business landscape, and if you have listened to the fall launch, you will have heard this from Sandy Carter and others. I'm trying to summarize some of this is that we're trying to give you a sneak peek of the new CEO study, which will be available in May of 08. Essentially, what we're talking about is a changing business landscape with evolving and changing customers. Certainly, as you open new markets in places like China and India, you know, the numbers of people that we're talking about are just astounding, and growing into a global integrated market where we will be dealing with thresholds that we've never reached before, types of information that we're sharing, and overall technologies like that. New technology models, certainly Web 2.0 changes that, and then from a business model innovation, trying to adapt and change your corporation and your company in the way you do business in a very rapid fashion is what's driving a lot of this new technology in the new market. Go with me to the next slide. So we're talking about becoming a more agile business and some of the definitions that we get into this as it relates to services-oriented architectures. And certainly the definition of a service is well understood. It's a repeatable business task, not necessarily a program of sort, but it's a business task. A service orientation is linking these tasks together and creating new outcomes and new ways of doing business. And then that is built on top of a service architecture that allows for loosely coupled business events to be pulled together, monitored, managed, and done so in a very rapid fashion, building composite applications that don't exist today. If you come with me to the next slide, slide 4. And this particular chart built around the themes in terms of getting started and sort of this continuum. This isn't a maturity model per se, but this is a continuum of activities that define key integrations. So if you look at the left side, very basic or foundational examples, and as those might be interpreted or implemented in your corporation, it might be something that's very simple, departmental type of implementation of an SOA, very simple to reuse. And then as you move across this continuum, as you move further and further out, the technology becomes less and less visible to the users. And then out in the very, very advanced edge of this, the technology disappears completely. And then the ability to adapt dynamically becomes just the way you do business. There's two overarching themes. One is simplicity. The other is robustness. The simplicity message we're going to talk about later in the products. Much of the technology that I'm going to provide in terms of refresh and updates and information is not so much brand new, but in ways of thinking about them in terms of enhancements. And much of that is around making the technologies easier to use, creating out-of-the-box capabilities. And then from a robustness standpoint, in trying to make this work across the continuum, we have to have a robust technology that allows for you to start simple and yet grow, and so that you don't have to continually change out your infrastructures. So we're going to use these four themes as we kind of move through the rest of the presentation and understand that there is a Smart SOA launch that's available on IBM.com that I suggest you go out and listen to. It does a far better job of going over the entire Smart SOA rollout. Go with me to slide 5. I'm going to talk about a little bit about the launch in terms of carrying on some of the ideas of entry points. IBM has had this concept of a service-oriented architecture entry point. you know, whether that's people or process or connectivity or whatever. And this is some of the new capabilities that are being brought out. There's, as you see on the website, there is a SOA sandbox. So you can go out to the IBM.com/SOA, download full versions of software, go to some online hosted environments that are there. There's tutorials. There's a number of white papers and guides that are there for your benefit. Go to the right side of this and talk about SOA configurations. There's P configuration from a distributed standpoint. The one that is underlined on the right, leveraging legacy and packaged applications, is really a Zed-oriented theme. And so from this standpoint, this is, if we go to the next slide, there's a couple of screenshots from some of the information that is already out there and published on the website to be able to go through and look at leveraging, and you'll hear this term a lot throughout the main SOA launch. It talks about leveraging legacy. In some markets, in some countries, legacy is perceived to be a bad thing. Perception is that it is old and hard to use and all of that. But in the context of our launch, it's really about applications and technologies that work. Whether it was written last week, last month, 10 years ago, legacy is taking advantage of those things that are out there in production. So let's go to slide 7. On this theme of technology refresh or enhanced release, certainly the advent of Web 2.0 and the technologies that we provide within IBM, from the enterprise services bus, our appliances, the broker, MQ, process server, and these other things have been refreshed and have the ability now to support Web 2.0 infrastructures across all of our platforms, including Zed. Slide 8. As I mentioned on this continuum, and now what I'm going to really kind of break out of is talking about the summary of the launch and get more into the product refresh. So as we move through this presentation, at this point, we'll start talking about technologies and products a bit more. So really, from the way we're delivering this solution, we have a business-oriented focus, and we'll also then have an IT focus and products that support all of this. And again, then all of these things then gain from this continuum and have the simplicity and the robustness built in. So let's go to the next slide. There's a lot of information on this. In essence, what we have is three technologies that are oriented toward the business, not necessarily IT on this particular chart. Certainly the WebSphere Business Modeler, Business Monitor, and the WebSphere Business Services Fabric. We'll talk a little bit about each of these. So from a modeler perspective, the product will EGA in December of 07. It goes full GA in January of 2008. From a technology refresh and a technology enhancement standpoint, certainly the ability to have a model that provides a way to simulate and analyze your business processes is significant. Be able to take a look at a process and look at the data that is modeled for and the actual data before you implement and deploy this stuff. We're adding the ability to do human task visualization with the inclusion of Lotus Forms integration. We're improving the usability, ability to export reports to Microsoft Office. I can copy and paste multiple elements between processes. There's a number of predefined measures that are out-of-the-box measurements that we provide so that you can just kind of drag and drop, put those into your systems and get going. We'll move on to the Business Monitor. It also has an EGA of December of 2007 and a GA date of January of 2008. Business Monitor is a comprehensive business activity monitoring product. Some of the new capabilities, some of the enhanced capabilities, are the ability to have personalized dashboards. And within those personalized dashboards, be able to have your own key performance indicators and metrics. We can gather information from process server and FileNet. We can also, if you happen to have coded into your applications, we can use adapters to have your internal applications report to the Business Monitor via standard common business event infrastructure. And so your own internal things can also be published out that aren't necessarily part of the business WPS technology and built on the modeler. Some very significant enhancements. And then within the Business Services Fabric, again, an EGA of December of 2007. Some of the capabilities that we're bringing out into this is some enhanced policy lifecycle management, which gives us the ability to better simulate policies and improve tooling that allows us to create and manage these policies more simply and more robustly. interoperability with the registry and repository, which is a technology we'll talk about a little bit later. It gives us better error checking capability. Within this error checking, it gives us the ability to prevent inadvertent triggering of policies. So if I set some threshold or some level in my business process and I've trip across it, I can set off a whole series and a whole chain of events that might not necessarily be good for us. Concurrency with WebSphere version 6 and some additional capabilities that we're picking up as part of the WebSphere version 6 release, which is also talked about. We pick up some additional platform and wider deployment options, certainly Zed Linux, all the flavors, ZOS as a native operating system, and then additional databases that we're supporting on Zed Linux. Oracle, I believe, is one of those. Let's go on to the next slide, slide 10. I talked about WebSphere Process Server 6.1. Also, again, from an enhancement standpoint, from Process Server, we have new install and configuration processes, so make the entire process of getting the technology stood up, implemented, and deployed much easier. We have enhanced human workflow capabilities within the technology. We've extended the platform support, ZOS, latest releases, and the exploitation of 64-bit. So we'll be able to get into larger address spaces, be able to handle more complex business process flows, things like that. There's an enhancement within the Lotus Forms integration that I mentioned earlier. And then on the next technology we'll talk about is really the WebSphere Integration Developer. This is the technology that your integration teams will use to build the infrastructure that has been modeled, the applications that have been modeled using the business modeler, and this is the deployment process. So it gives us a design time tool for creating and assembling SOA applications. I can discover and assemble the composite applications, reusing all the types of the business services that I have, human workflow, business state events, system events and technologies. It's a user-friendly environment based on Eclipse, drag-and-drop tools for visually constructing these solutions with a minimum of coding. We want to make this entire experience easy to do. We don't want to have to write a lot of custom code that is tough to maintain and tough to change. And so within the WebSphere Integration Developer version 6.1, we've delivered on this promise of making this entire implementation in infrastructure technology a reality. Go to slide 11. We'll jump out of the business aspect of some of the solutions and more into the IT-oriented. And the next slide, slide 12, we talk about some of the SOA entry points that IBM has had and offered over the number of years as we've talked about SOA. And certainly one of the IT-oriented ones is, as we enter into this SOA infrastructure, is certainly from a connectivity standpoint in bringing these technologies together. The challenge, on slide 13, the challenge of integrating existing applications, and we've seen this chart on the left side of this presentation a number of times throughout IBM's SOA discussion, is being able to take and decompose these tightly coupled application infrastructures that we have and exposing them for reuse and making these this reuse available, scalable, and reliable. It's very difficult to do. The challenge of taking these existing applications and this spaghetti code that we have on the left and turning it into the implementation on the right is one of the challenges that we're trying to address and trying to solve here. From a Zed standpoint on slide 14, we certainly want to make much of the messaging that we're doing here and by delivering on this promise of helping you create value from your existing Zed assets. A lot of information is out in your Zed series environments today. CICS handles trillions of transactions per week and trillions of dollars per week. IMS is handling, you know, billions of transactions a day. The total asset value in applications in our customers is absolutely astounding, you know, estimated at multi-trillions of dollars. Throwing those things out and starting fresh isn't really an option for you. So what we're trying to deliver here is the value of Zed, and SOA really becomes a very mainframe-centric message. I can drive cost and complexity out of your business. I can minimize your risk and downtime. I can help you with your total cost of ownership and value statement within a Zed environment, leveraging those assets and those skills and the core value that you have already built in your environment is a significant value statement to our Zed customers. And the SOA technologies that support your Z environment help you do that. So where do I start? On slide 15. So let's talk about a little bit about the connectivity and using connectivity as an entry point into starting leveraging a Zed implementation or Zed assets. Slide 17, it goes back into this continuum and the idea underneath this, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but the idea within this is to be able to give you some basic understanding and deliverable as it relates to each of these individual areas from foundation, extend end-to-end, transform, and adapt dynamically. So if you go back to some of the basic discussions is quick integration using adapters. File-based systems integration into SOA is an example, and we get into some of the higher technologies or a little bit further down the continuum, being able to do transformations on the fly, implementations of enterprise services bus, and then at the far end, this idea of having dynamic service selections and routings and federated ESB, which is a concept I'm going to talk about next. But the advent and the idea of having really enterprise-wide implementations from an infrastructure, ESBs that do deliver on the promise that we have. Technology updates on slide 18. So we're going to talk a little bit about MQ and PM for data in the next slides. So certainly, as a slide 19, as we talk about WebSphere MQ for ZOS, which is one of the foundational products available to our Zed customers, we have about a 50-60% penetration with MQ on Zed series in our Z environments. But the idea is to replace, and by using a technology like MQ, it gets you out of the hardwiring applications together. Significant portions of customers' costs are tied up in maintaining mediation and transformations between applications and wiring and providing communications, the application maintenance aspect of your business. Significant portions of your IT costs are in this area. So as we move into this technology as MQ as a base for this first step in SOA, we also then, building on WebSphere MQ, is we have a technology from Metastorm called PM for Data. PM for Data is a managed FTP, managed file transfer solution that uses MQ as a backbone. So some of the advantages of using the PM for Data solution is that it is significantly faster than FTP. It can handle massive file sizes, 10 gigabytes and larger. It's more reliable, certainly from an assured delivery. I don't have to write any program code. It's managed, it's secured, and it provides some reporting capabilities that don't exist elsewhere. It's also a native ZOS solution. It runs on many platforms, but it also runs on ZOS. So if your organization has FTP today and is looking for a less expensive way, easier way of providing file transfer, managed file transfer, certainly should look at the PM for Data solution. Slide 21. As a transition into the enterprise service bus for Zed and Zed Linux, let me state here that in most instances with our technologies, we have a ZOS, native ZOS solution, as well as a Zed Linux solution. I may not draw that out in my discussion, but in most instances that we do. So the next slide, slide 22, is a little bit of a rebuild or a refresh about discussions about what are the benefits of an ESB. If you consider the fact that we had in one of the earlier slides, the spaghetti chart with all of the hardwired connections and the infrastructure that was built, and the idea is to get over into a more reusable environment, and the delivery of that is through the enterprise services bus. And so as we click through this thing, as we want to add a new service and add those new services faster, this is a build chart, you click it again, and the ability to change out services through the ESB. I'm going to provide a new service at the top. I have a new availability service or a new program at the bottom. and do this with no impact to the existing services or to the existing users of the business, and let the ESB handle all of that. The next slide, slide 23, we talk about ESBs evolving with new demands and new benefit. The idea and some of the stuff behind what Web 2.0 is this kind of this concept of just-in-time development and driving mashups and things like that that put the user and the business more in control in this dynamic management concept. And so in this particular slide, as we add new services, I don't just want to do it faster, but I want to do it dynamically, because what I might have is, from an invocation standpoint, I might have a different service, a different quality of service that I would want to apply based on the requester. Might be based on time of day, might be based on who the requester is, might be made available on, from a cost standpoint, and all of this then gets to be driven through this registry policy, this concept of putting a registry into the environment. And that registry, the policies that are enforced and invoked within that, is how we drive and deliver this various service. So the ESB is moving beyond just simply providing mediation and routing and protocol conversions, but it's now where we're taking this within our offerings in this space, is we're taking this and applying other technologies that IBM has and making the ESB and making the services-oriented architecture more robust, more real-time, and better serve our customers and better serve you. Slide 24, the evolution of this ESB is, as I talked about, is taking this, you know, putting the registry, putting, you know, access control mechanisms in place, management frameworks, and what I'm now trying to drive is an enforcement point as it relates to services, SOA services, and integrating that with this enterprise service bus. So I have adapters, I have interfaces where I've, you know, where I've got things that are, you know, SOAP or HTTP or using the more modern interfaces where I can just use JMS. And I've got legacy applications, and these might be COBOL programs, IMS, whatever. And I have adapters to be able to have those applications then talk more effectively to the enterprise services bus. And then by invocation of this registry and SOA services, then I'm starting to provide policy-based enforcement, augmentation, logging, routing, all of that stuff, and then a policy so that I'm ensured that I'm delivering the qualities of service that I need. Slide 25 is a bit of a busy chart, but the idea under this is, and the source of this is Gartner, but the discussion point I want to bring out here is that kind of start from the top down. We talk about, you know, from a single backplane where we want to have one enterprise service bus implementation across all of my business units, maybe with my third-party trading partners and others. It's kind of the nirvana. It's the ultimate in implementation and what we're trying to deliver, but it's probably unattainable. What we're seeing is that, you know, we're seeing stuff more toward the bottom where companies are, and certainly from Gartner's analysis, the companies will have multiple ESBs from other companies. And those will not necessarily be integrated with each other. So what you'd tend to have is, you know, departmental implementations that are from different vendors, and that those then become, you know, islands in them to themselves. And so what we're trying to deliver, and what we are, as IBM is trying to deliver, is this concept of a federated ESB, which is this coordinated heterogeneous backplane, so that the implementations of ESBs might be from IBM, they might be from other vendors, but the ability to have them to integrate and communicate with each other is significant. And what we're trying to, what we are trying to deliver, it's the ESB that you need. Let's go to the next slide, and we'll talk about why it's important then to have this, much of this infrastructure running on Zed. Certainly, if you think about the way that many applications are written today, and whether these are written on a Z framework or written and distributed, from an application standpoint, I have this graph that it's represented here is that I have three business applications, point of sale, accounting, and finance, that use a program or have within them a program called sales tax calculation. And as I move to an SOA environment where I would have a single tax calculation program that would be, you know, used by all requesting services. In externalizing this, it becomes very important. I now have a very significant potential for failure in my environment if that particular application or that particular service isn't available when it's needed. Not to say that we shouldn't be moving to this environment, but it's really to drive home the point that it really becomes important when you go through me with this as a build slide. If you go through this and you think about moving that service back to the core business system, which is a system Z. And so by putting it on the Z platform, I can provide the highest qualities of service available in the industry. 5 nines of availability, failover, full redundancy, GDPS, giving you the ability to, you know, when disasters may strike, is to be able to take advantage of all of the core built-in Z service and capabilities that we have. Let's move to slide 27. And certainly from a back into the idea here of a technology refresh as we start talking about the three offerings as we have from IBM, from an enterprise service bus, WebSphere Message Broker, Data Power Integration Appliance, the XI50, and then the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. So we'll walk through this in a little bit more detail on the next slide. So from a start from right to left, and we'll talk about Broker 6.1, again, EGA in December, and certainly from a new from WebSphere enhancements, we're providing more and more flexible business solutions. We're improving your customer experience. We've added some enhancements for the developer in improving the service flow editor and the significant node enhancements. From a performance standpoint, we've added a ultra-high performance XML parser, JDBC XA transaction support, and large file processing. So the speed and the ability to do mediations and do transformations is improved. We've added additional WSDL and web service security and addressing capabilities. Connectivity has been enhanced with the advent of a number of adapters, including one to more tightly couple WebSphere Transformation Extender and MQ together. Moving across here, we'll talk about the service WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus for a moment. We've added additional platforms for the ESB. We now have iSeries supported and further integration with WebSphere 6.1. A number of ESB enhancements with new data bindings for HTTP export-import. Again, WTX integration and sample data, which provides the ability to integrate with any JMS provider. So this gets us outside of the IBM box a little bit and lets us do a bit more with our competition, some of the implementations that you may already have. New service flows, improved mapping of mediation, a number of things that help us address common scenarios that we run into, things like aggregation and retry. And again, improved tooling support for customer implementations and mediations. Data Power. Some enhancements to the Data Power device. Enhanced MQ support along with enhanced and advanced integration with WSRR. Reliable messaging with web services. Enhancements for ease of use and implementation of this particular device, so we make the user experience easier, so for a faster time to market delivery and implementation of the Data Power infrastructures. Let's go to the next slide, which is a transition slide talking about the next three technologies that I'm going to address: Transformation Extender and a number of adapters, and also CICS Gateway. So from an adapter standpoint, there's a number of new adapters. I talked a little bit about the adapter node for Message Broker. And again, the theme behind this is designed to make the implementation of ESBs simpler and the connectivity processes much more of a point and click versus a coding environment. So the idea of having a consistent framework to access back-end systems, the latest generation of adapters all share the same common consistent framework and technology using the Java connector architecture. You know, the idea then is to make these things easy to implement as off-the-shelf technologies with no custom coding required. A portfolio of pre-built application adapters. Again, if there are things that we don't have that you need, there is a toolkit to allow you to generate your own. I mentioned the JCA technology and some of the adapter protocols, so certainly there's a direct protocol adapter between JCA to email, FTP, flat file, JDBC. There are adapters for applications like SAP that are native to Zed, and additional technologies will be added over time. WTX, WebSphere Transformation Extender. So we've added some new capabilities to the extender pack. So there's an EDIFACT and an X12 update coming out in early 2008. There'll be new packs for Accord and NACHA, and then certainly the ZEPA mediations that have been out there for WTX for some time for the Single European Payment System. And then the KIX Transaction Gateway 7 delivers a new release of the gateway that will continue to focus, again, on increased ease of integration and ease of use, provide some enhancements in two key areas. One is extended networking support, which includes an interoperability with channels and containers under the programming model. And what this basically does is it enables Java applications to participate and exchange larger amounts of data, greater than the 32K limit today, with CICS applications that use the containers and channels. We've also enhanced monitoring capabilities and integration with other management tools. So, you know, we have the ability to participate in end-to-end transactions using the eWorkload Manager support capabilities like that. So enhancements to KIX Transaction Gateway, and certainly being able to and then needing the underlying CICS infrastructure of Transaction Server 3.2 to be able to leverage some of these capabilities. On the chart, we're talking about Federated ESB. There was a repository on the ESB itself from a policy standpoint. That repository from IBM is the WebSphere Service Registry and Repository. WSRR is the implementation, our implementation of a place to publish, store the services that are available in your enterprise, whether those are newly developed services, whether those services are exposures of and advancements of web services that have been added to CICS or other technologies. Some of the new capabilities in the Wizard, the WSRR product, is the advanced discovery capabilities, so I can pick up services from WebSphere and .NET platforms for reuse and governance. A new service directory engine, which extracts these web services description from all of these various platforms. It gives me better control and governance of these services. A single authoritative place to store, manage, discover, use, all of those, enrich. And so, you know, being able to have the registry automatically update itself, keep an accurate record of what services are implemented, who's using them, gives me the ability to really manage my entire SOA environment. Very key capability in making the entire web services SOA implementation come to life and actually be managed and usable. The thing that tends to hold people back on all platforms in the adaption and the adoption of this SOA and is its our ability to manage, audit, and control. We need to know who's using these things. If you think about the reuse aspect of ESBs that have been implemented by a department, but if that information from what service is available in that particular infrastructure is not able to be shared elsewhere, I don't know what is out there. What we've done is we've changed our programming model, and we've basically gotten ourselves back into the business of we got these islands of technology that had been implemented. We just happened to be using a different language or a different service interface to be able to do that. And so WSRR brings the management and the governance required to be able to effectively implement an enterprise-wide implementation of an ESB. Slide 34. Concept of this is to be able to start small or start with a very basic implementation and grow as you move out along the continuum and be able to have technology that grows with you. So you don't really want to have a solution that you would implement at a departmental level that wouldn't be able to grow and dynamically adapt as you move down the SOA continuum. You don't want to have to start over and throw these investments out. The next slide talks about, from a kind of a far-reaching standpoint, this concept of integrity. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, various technologies that support process integrity and then break those down into some individual components. We're going to talk about these in the technologies that support transaction integrity. And certainly, you know, process server, ESB, application server, message broker, and the rest of these technologies inherit robust capabilities and qualities of services provided by the base application server, which are then, you know, leveraged and built on top of this open standard-based ESB. The number of capabilities that, you know, you get from participating in the stack and being able to take advantage of solutions like the transaction server and other things, CICS transaction server that have been out in the market for years and years and have a highly available, highly reliable implementation. A number of feature packs that are being delivered and offered out within the application server infrastructure. The new feature pack for web services, EJB3, reliable messaging, web services addressing, a feature called web service secure conversation. A number of things that are built around the core infrastructure that are inherited by the higher stack technologies, app server, and then on top of that ESB, and on top of that process server, all build and all gain from these core features and capabilities within the WebSphere application server. There's a new feature pack for EJB3, which the primary value, I guess, of the Enterprise Java Bean 3 is it simplifies the development, allowing developers to program, you know, EJB components as ordinary Java objects with ordinary Java business interfaces. So the EJB3, again, going back to some of the foundation, some of the far-reaching capabilities as it relates to, you know, the messaging that we're providing, is the implementation of simple and the implementation of robust services that have a far-reaching effect across the business. Certainly from an integrity standpoint, within Message Broker and other technologies, we provide a extending ESBs beyond some of the standards-based technology, being able to route from anywhere to anywhere, to be able to transform any type of message format into any other type of message format. In integration with data power devices, integration with WSRR in an out-of-the-box mode, having built-in interfaces and adapters for SAP, email, other technologies, really provides a simplification, a way to ensure that because IBM's built, tested, and developed this technology with integrity in mind. Slide 36, talk about high qualities of service, and certainly there are capabilities built within MQ and Message Broker from a high availability standpoint. Certainly the fact that our technologies are fully ARM-enabled, tightly integrated with workload management capabilities, and be able to deliver uniquely in the business a goal-oriented approach to application infrastructure and provide a guaranteed response time and be able to scale workloads dynamically and automatically. Workload isolations is not to be underrated or discounted, and being able to ensure that one particular failure in one area of the system or one application doesn't cause failures and outages in others. Parallel sysplex, being able to take advantage of MQ shared queues. Data sharing within DB2. And then within Message Broker for ZOS, then I have, you know, interfaces and nodes for particularly for processing Kix, VSAM, and Java. I talked earlier about performance enhancements with the high-speed parsers, XA transaction support, and then large file processing. So all of these things, you know, as we grow from very basic to very advanced capabilities, demand extraordinarily high qualities of service. If I have, as in one of my examples, if I have an outage with a service and I can't recover that service, my business is essentially out of business. The magnification, the benefit of that for an enterprise is an enormous reduction in cost, but it also carries with it an increase in risk. Your least risky platform has been for years and years and years System Z. We should be thinking in terms of leading with this technology and getting you on to System Z with our infrastructures and middlewares to take advantage of this. Slide 37. As I mentioned, Zed is uniquely capable of ensuring high qualities of service. There are other platforms, other operating system vendors that talk about their ability to have mainframe-like capabilities. I want to emphasize that mainframe-like does not mean mainframe equal. Certainly, some of the words sound the same. Workload manager, LPARs, things like that that sound the same but have very different implementations and very different meanings. Just from the standpoint of if I have a failure in a system, its ability to recover and do so automatically, if I have a catastrophic outage someplace in my environment, if my data center is flooded, it's hit with an earthquake or some other natural disaster, does my infrastructure have the ability to, you know, automatically reroute work? Can it self-heal? Do I have the appropriate implementations? Do I have the appropriate disaster recovery plans? In many implementations that I see around the world, many customers don't have a very robust disaster recovery environment built in their distributed farms. They do in their Zed, because the implementations that have been running the business for so long are indeed mission critical. So, high qualities of service really are driven toward a very Zed-centric message. As I mentioned when I started this presentation, SOA really in its implementation becomes a very Z-focused, a very Z-centric computing and business pattern. So we should now be, you know, comfortable with introducing and implementing these solutions and these technologies into our Zed environments. So with that, I'm going to pass the presentation back to the operator and field any questions that you have. I do thank you for your time, operator.
Thank you, Dale. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1, not technical enough, press star 2, and if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And for our last question today, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and no, press star 2. And thank you all for your responses. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question today, please signal by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you are on a speakerphone, please release the mute function so that your signal will reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for questions, and we'll pause for just a moment. And once again, that is star 1 for any questions at this time. And Mr. Grossman, it appears that we have no questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back to you for any concluding remarks.
Thank you, operator. Again, thank you for your time. If someone should happen to have something they'd like to ask, you know, one-on-one. My email's listed in the front of the very, very beginning of the presentation. I appreciate your interest, and I'm going to try to give you back some of your day. Thank you very much.
That concludes this IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.